a triumphal entry of Jesus. So he wanted to make it known that now it was okay that he proclaims to be the Messiah. All right, so he fulfills prophecy by getting on a donkey. All right, and not just a donkey, the foal of a donkey. And he wrote that.
Meaning a little baby donkey that never been ridden.
Right, never had. And so he tells a couple of his disciples to go get it and bring it to him. And if anybody asks him, hey, what are you doing? Are you stealing this donkey? No, the Lord needs it. And the person's like, oh, well, wish you'd said that in the first place. Here you go. So he gets on this donkey, and it is a fulfillment of Scripture, Zechariah 9:9. And so Jesus rides on this donkey, and a lot of Jesus' followers are laying their cloaks on the path leading into the city of Jerusalem from Bethany, and all the way into the temple, and they're laying down palm fronds, all these things that are proclaiming that, yeah, you are king, and you are the Messiah. We want to know, well, we want to proclaim, yes, you are the Messiah. And so Jesus, openly now, very much knowing that the hour is coming. Prior to this, he did not want people to acknowledge who he was, because now was the time. Now.
Yeah, and that was because it had to fulfill so many prophecies. Because way back when, everybody know about Moses in the Egypt and how he took all the slaves across the Red Sea. Is it, at least have y'all heard the story about him? Okay. So that, when they, right before that, before they headed off across the Red Sea, we had 10 plagues. And you guys, is this all, I'm just trying to get those cobwebs out. Okay, when that happened, that was, the last plague was the death. And that is where they put, if you were a Jew, or you believed in the God of the Jews, you would put blood of a lamb around the doorpost. And when that plague
angel
hit,
of the Lord,
angel of the Lord, the plague hit, those people were saved. So when Jesus came, he had to be that lamb, and it had to be on the right day at the right time. Are you with me? So when everyone's trying to make him king, and he's like, nope, because here is a very important part, point that I want you to hear. No one took Jesus's life. He gave it. And he was very intentional. No one, they killed him, but he sacrificed himself. Like, there was no, this is an accident or we gotcha. This was a, it is my time and I am going to lay my life down. I'm giving you now this opportunity.
So Jesus came not to overthrow the political system that was going on in that day. And this is an important point, because these people kind of missed it. They were thinking, okay, great. Finally now, we're throwing down our robes and our palm fronds, and we're acknowledging that you are king.
Hosanna.
And
Hosanna,
yeah, exclaiming, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory in the highest. Right?
Yeah, we're okay. Finally, well, saved. Like, that's what they're saying. Like, the king's coming.
They're thinking, we're finally going to overthrow Rome. Caesar's gone. Jesus is now taking over. Jesus was not ever going to establish an earthly, like, reign. Not in the sense, a physical sense, in which they thought. He came to dominate Satan. Overthrow Satan and Satan's rule. Okay, everybody, are you? I hope you're following me on this, because it is an important point. Because so many of the people who claim to be the religious leaders and people, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they wanted a different kind of king, not this humble servant of God who came and riding on this foal of a donkey, and they missed it. They missed the Messiah, the real God, the real King of Kings. And because of the fact that he actually was, he was kind of tearing down their framework of everything that they they stood for, the religiosity of the day. And Jesus now was upsetting that. He was upsetting even their very livelihood. And they didn't like it. And they didn't like him at all. They did not like Jesus.
And then you add all these people. So if you imagine saying, God saves, Hosanna, King of Kings, and we've all done this. We've had our emotional high, right? We've gone. And then, guess what? They were sorely disappointed in this upcoming week, between today and that week, because the fact is, that's not why he came, and they were disappointed. How many of you have been disappointed with God? Can I just see a hand? Okay, most of us have been disappointed with God at one point or a time. Think of your emotion during that disappointment, and you will be able to wrap your mind around the same people that said, God saves, Hosanna, and crucify him, right, in that amount of time. And so we got our religious people that were already against him. Now we've got all these people that are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and not all of them made it to the Resurrection Sunday to have a bunch of smiles. But Jesus died for them all. Okay, let's go.
Right, so, okay, this is Sunday. He gets to the temple. It's late. He goes back to Bethany. The next day, this is 2 miles away, by the way. So it's like East Quincy to downtown Quincy, basically, distance. And Bethany's a little bit above Jerusalem's. Nice scenic view, from what I understand. I've never been there. I'd like to go. But anyway, they're on their way back to Jerusalem. Jesus approaches a fig tree. And Jesus was hungry. He was probably worn out. He needed some food. The tree had nothing but green leaves on it. And when he saw it, he cursed it. And what is it that he says to the tree, Shondell? Oh, I got it. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say that. And what Jesus was referring to was the fact that Israel looked green and it looked like it was good for fruit and it wasn't. So it had this appearance of being godly, of being religious, and yet it wasn't. And I think the lesson for us all is, where in our lives do we look religious and yet we are not bearing fruit? And so that was the message that Jesus wanted his disciples to see from this fig tree, and he completely destroyed this fig tree with his words and damaged its roots permanently, and it would never bear fruit again.
So as you look at your little one-pager here, the Holy Week exercises, we just gave something for the, we made some of the days traditionally. But we wanted just to give you some exercises that as you walked through this week, you could really identify and grow closer to Jesus in this week. So that when we celebrate that he is risen, it is going to mean so much to you. And so do you want to just head into a little bit more about him being king or judge, or if we're managing our time here?
Yeah, right. Keep going.
Okay, so if you look on here, it's going to kind of walk you through some exercise. You have to read them all right now. On Friday, we are going to have a quick Friday service. We're going to meet right in here at 9:30 a.m. for communion and a little bit of worship reading. It'll be real small, really easy, but we want to invite you to that. But between now and then, we have some fun things for you to really be looking at.
Yeah, so if you take a look at Tuesday, I like how it says here, enjoy your prayer life. Sense how wonderful it is being in God's presence. And this is a time, I think, right now, this week, we call this the Holy Week, or you can even, it's known as the Passion Week. Think about what Jesus did this week, and even some of his teachings I think are really remarkable. I read through the book of Mark multiple times, And Mark is a nice, concise gospel. I call it the ADD gospel. It's the quick version for those of us who are not big readers. And so for me, it's like, okay, quick, hard-hitting, and some solid truth in there. So read through chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way to the end. Really good stuff in there. Jesus' authority was challenged, and I love how he responds. And Jesus always responds in a way that, he teaches through how he responds. And his authority, you will see when you read this, he is God. And it is just wonderful, and you'll fall in love with Jesus even more.
And I think one of the things that we really wanted to encourage you guys, if you see on Thursday, it says Monday, Thursday. And we're like, what is Monday? And it sounds like a Hyundai. So I was like, what does that actually mean? And the Monday is a word for commandment. And so it was on the Last Supper. It's when they wash their feet, the disciples wash their feet, as a demonstration of how to love one another. Like, how are we going to really love one another? He said, you're going to humble yourself, and you're going to serve each other. So it's a beautiful, these are just different beautiful ways. So as we kind of conclude in here, I think what we want you to walk away with is just the love of Jesus that propelled him to come in and assure everyone that he is king. And then to go through what he went through to start establishing his authority. He turned over the tables during this time. He's cursing fig trees. But he's loving his disciples. And he is loving them and preparing them to be able to serve after him. And then when on the Last Supper, when he really, one of the exercises here is to read about the Last Supper, about what he did is he loved them enough to serve them. And I want you to feel served by Jesus this week. And really love him. And what does it mean to sense his presence in your life? The forgiveness of what he did on the cross. Because when we meet on Friday, we're going to really be talking about what happened on the cross. And it's going to be beautiful because then on Sunday, he rises. And he rises from the dead. And on Sunday, just for a little practice, if you look down, it says, say to another believer, he is risen. And when that happens, what do we respond?
He is risen indeed.
Yes, that's so wonderful. Okay, so do you have anything else left to say before we lock this up?
Yeah. So I would just like to conclude with this is the good news. What Jesus did and everything leading to that moment on the cross, and especially the resurrection, the resurrection is what really gives us that hope of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have a changed life, a new nature. And so that's the beauty of it all. If there was the cross and that was it, that's not it. He rose again. And that fact alone, and the fact that he now resides in heaven, he is on the throne. He died for us. He came to earth, died for us, so that we would have this hope of eternal life in him. And he is the one who takes away our sin. We've talked about that up here. He didn't just cover it like some animal sacrifice. This was a once and for all takes away. And that's what John the Baptist was proclaiming, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And that is what he came to do, because we would have no hope of ever getting to God without that. And there is no religion in this world that has a solution for that. And so the only solution is that God came to this world to save us. And this message is one that confounds the smartest people on this planet. But this message is not just for the smartest people on this planet. This message is for everybody. And this message is the message of incredible love, mm-hmm. incredible sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the fact that God did that for us is the most remarkable and the greatest gift imaginable. There's nothing better. And so if you are on the fence about whether or not you believe this, get off the fence and believe it. Stop being on the fence. There's no wait now. I mean, do it. Yeah, let's make that decision right away. Commit your life to Jesus and then watch him change you. Because he will, because guess what? He also gave another gift. Not only eternal life, but the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Mm-hmm. And that is what changes us. And many of us here in this room are incredible examples of that.
Amen. Amen, amen. And we have a baptism at the end of April. Woo-hoo. So yeah. That, and whoever else wants to join in that hot tub.
Amen. Right on.
You have to repent for saying, hell yes. I got caught up in the moment. And it just sounded good. So just want to repent to everybody that I was convicted by that, even though it sounded great in the moment. Okay, yeah.
Sunrise service.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have sunrise service at the Sutherland Farm.
We have no animals except
nothing. Dog. We don't even have carrot. You go all the way down 3rd Street, all the way, and we'll be out there. And it's 6:30 in the morning, so, you know, no pressure. Just letting you know. You're all invited. And Jim's going to be doing worship. You're going to get over there. Carpool if you can. And then we'll be here. Remember, this is the time. Like, your friends, invite them. It's a day that people are open. Hey, you going anywhere for Easter Sunday? Come on with me. Let's try to get those people that have not tasted of Jesus to taste of him. All right? Are you going to pray us out?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for your amazing sacrifice. Thank you for coming to earth to save us and bridging that gap, that impossible gap that we would never be able to be in your presence without you intervening and doing what you did for us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so we praise you, we worship you, and we want to acknowledge everything that you did this week leading to the cross and then the power of the resurrection. And the newness of life. Thank you, Lord. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, two other little things. Look, I put it right up here just so I wouldn't forget, and I almost forgot. We have a website that is in, like, phase one, so it needs a lot of feedback. So I would welcome you to look at it and give me feedback on it. But we're live on that, barely, mind you. Low expectations is what I'm trying to tell you. And then if you want to throw some balls, we have some snacks. Let's hang out. And I will see you next week, or when I see you, I will say, he is risen, and you will say,
he is risen indeed.